It's a switch today. Usually we're waiting for members, and today we're waiting for the chairman.
Yeah.
I'll let the record show that the House Transportation Committee meeting started 11 after 1, and that the following representatives were present: Representative Johnson, Representative Feige, Representative Pruitt, Representative Peterson, and myself, Representative Wilson. And I'd like to recognize the staff, Nancy Hemingway in the back, Lint over here in the corner, and who is our LIO monitor, and my committee aide, Becky Rooney. And just a reminder, please shut off your cell phones. I see some of you looking at them, so please shut them off all the way. Just turning them to vibrate interferes with our system. So today we'll be taking up House Bill 64 first, which is the permanent vehicle registration, and we'll also be looking at House Bill 10, permanent trailer registration. And I do not plan to move either one of these bills today, just so that everyone realizes that. We had H.J.R. 4 and House Bill 30 scheduled for today, but those hearings have been canceled to allow more time to make changes to the bill. And Darren, will you come forward and present House Bill 64 to the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Darrell Brees, Representative Bill Stoltz's legislative aide. House Bill 64, since it hasn't been before the committee yet, give you guys a summary, would offer permanent vehicle registration to vehicles that are 8 years old or older. The whole idea behind it is twofold. One, to make the process of going through DMV much more user-friendly. I don't like going to DMV if I don't have to. It's kind of like the dentist. Nothing against dentists, but if you don't have to go for anything but a teeth cleaning, you don't want to go. So that's part of the goal. The other goal is for people who own older vehicles, not the majority of them, but a large number of them, are used less frequently than everyday vehicles. I know a lot of people who have older pickups that use them, you know, seasonally for snow plowing and things like that. And to have to re-register those every 2 years is somewhat of a burden. And our goal was, with this bill, is to create an option with permanent registration where the owners of the vehicles 8 years or older could go in, register, and basically not have to visit DMV anymore for that, as long as they own that vehicle. Under the bill, if the vehicle is sold, the new owner has to register again. The two-year option, the biennial registration that currently exists for vehicles, is still allowed. It's still an option. If I own a 10-year-old truck and I don't want to buy into the biennial or the permanent registration, I can do the biennial registration because I know I'm going to sell the truck in 2 years, or I'm going to trade it in a couple years. So that option is still available for the people who don't want to, and you know, buy into the permanent registration. Excuse me. In the State Affairs Committee, when this was up before, a couple questions came up regarding the issue of motor vehicle registration tax and the impact that it will have on municipalities. And I'd be more than happy to answer questions about that and how we intend to hopefully resolve that issue in the near future when we have a CS version of the bill ready, because that's a big concern that wasn't thought of when the bill was initially drafted. So with that, if you guys have any questions.
Darrell, I know that you did plan to have a CS, and bill drafting just didn't have it to you soon enough.
I have a copy of it. We're having it looked at to make sure it's exactly the way we want it right now. So I wish I could have brought it before you guys. It's just not ready right now.
All right.
By the time the committee meeting's over, hopefully, Chair, it'll be ready. But right now, it's just not ready for review.
All right. Any questions from the committee? Representative Pruitt?
Is there potential, because you mentioned that after the 8 years, someone could buy into the program or they could decide not to. Is there potential that we could actually make more money? People would buy into the program at a certain point in time and then sell the vehicle, and we're actually generating more revenue from that?
As the bill is written right now, through the chair, Representative Pruitt, no, because the bill states that the right now that the registration fee will be five times the normal fee or $100, whichever is lesser. $100 is the same amount charged for the biennial registration fee.
Got it.
So as the bill is written currently, no, there wouldn't be any extra money raised. And if I can speak to that for a second, Madam Chair, Representative Stultz chose to leave the wording in as it was, five times or $100, whichever is lesser. So there would be some debate and discussion as to what a fair rate to charge is, as opposed to us just arbitrarily picking a number. He wanted to have some debate to determine what is the best fairness for taking both in mind the state through the Department of Motor Vehicles and the consumer. What's the consumer willing to pay? And we, for you know, a couple of us put our heads together and come up with an answer. We didn't think that was quite fair, because what I think is fair may not be what you think is fair as far as to pay. So we felt if we get more people involved in that conversation through a debate at the committee level, we'd come up with a better number. Should that be adjusted to a different number or a higher number? We've examined adjusting it instead of five times, you know, one, two, three, or four times as well, and eliminating the $100. And under those scenarios, there would be opportunity for the state to make some more money initially. Because in the first couple of years, you're going to bring in, you know, say we did five times. You're going to bring in five times the $100 registration fee in year one and two, because half the vehicles we assume are going to register in year one, half are going to register in year two. Well, they're already permanently registered, so they're not going to re-register when they get to year three. So there will be some revenue loss, but if you take into account in that scenario, the revenue that's gained in year one, the loss will be, you know, greatly reduced.
Just follow up on that.
Pruitt.
So basically, and I want to see if I understand what you were indicating there correctly. The amount of revenue lost is not, it's almost a wash, because they're just paying early on for the whole fee. They're just coming in once to do it, but the amount that they're paying potentially would be what they would pay over the course of time.
Yeah, and depending on how many times you do the fee, if we did it five times and we've eliminated the $100 as the bill's written down, did it five times, that five times is basically they're paying for 10 years of biennial registration.
Okay.
So they're at that figure, there really is no revenue loss then. There's revenue loss in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth year because you're not bringing in any more money that year.
Right.
But the money you brought in year one and two covers that. And the budget doesn't take into account the, you know, if we bring in money in 2011, it's not going to show up on the balance sheet in 2015.
Right.
It was raised here, but it's not going to show up on the balance sheet there.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
So it's a lot, in the long run, it's a good loss to the state. And I've had calls from municipalities because on page 2 of the bill, lines 8 and 9 and 10, where it says, except as provided in AS 2810-423B, the owner of a permanently registered motor vehicle is not required to pay other fees or taxes under this chapter. And many municipalities in the state do have municipal taxes on registration, and I don't know for sure how much that would be, but and so hopefully there'll be some online, so we'll learn what that means to certain towns, because I don't know. I didn't call to see what it would mean to my town. I don't think we have it on our town. Do we? Okay, Becky's shaking her head there.
I can give you a list of the towns if you'd like.
How many towns across the state have them?
Through the chair, there are 16 communities. Municipality of Anchorage, Bethel, Bristol Bay, Cordova, Dillingham, Juneau, Kenai, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Mat-Su, Nanana, Nome, Petersburg, Sitka, Onalaska, and Whittier.
Okay, I see where this is at. It looks like Mat-Su would lose $4 million. Anchorage would lose $5.3 million. Kenai would lose $1.5 million. Altogether, the municipalities across the state that do this would lose $12.3 million. So I'm sure that...
Is that correct?
As the bill is written, as the bill is written right now, yes, that is correct. Because as the bill is written right now, you can no longer collect the motor vehicle registration tax if someone opts for the permanent registration for the vehicle beyond what they pay at the initial time of registration.
Okay, well, is there anyone from DMV to testify in this bill?
Madam Chairman, for the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I am simply available to answer questions.
Okay. I think verbally, if I remember, you got a legal opinion on the municipality's ability to continue to get the motor vehicle registration taxes on permanent vehicle registrations. What did they say?
Madam Chairman, after discussion with the Department of Law, as a result of some of the conversation in the last committee, I did ask the Department of Law to take a look at the bill to see if there was the possibility of the municipalities to collect motor vehicle registration tax themselves versus the DMV collecting it on their behalf. And under the current statute and the structure for collecting those fees, they would not have that ability.
Okay, thank you. And no, I don't see any other questions. No. Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to point out that the $12 million that the municipalities lose is $12 million in Alaskans' pockets. It's not like it's vanishing and going away somewhere.
Okay. All right. I don't see anyone else in the room, so let's open up public testimony. And right now I have Tanya Miller from the city of Unalaska.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Can you hear us? We can hear you.
Yes, this is Tanya Miller with the city of Unalaska. We have just recently implemented an additional fee to take care of our junk vehicle disposal, and it is $100 every other year. And we actually have just started January 1 of 2011, so we have just very little data on how much money that would mean to us. 1 month was $3,300. So with a reduction in our motor vehicle license fees, we anticipate the loss to us being between $30,000 and $50,000 per year.
Okay.
But we had an issue with junk vehicles. We decided to handle this locally, and we have just implemented this locally. So to take this away would be detrimental to the city of Unalaska.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you much, Tanya.
Thank you.
I don't see any questions for you. Let's go to Rick Gifford in Kodiak.
Hi, Madam Chairman. This is Rick Gifford, manager at Kodiak Island Borough.
Go ahead. And
can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I have to admit that I'm probably a little bit unclear of all the ins and outs, but as I understand it, the Kodiak Island Borough brings in about $283,000under the additional registration fee that the borough has, and we use this money to help us with funding our schools, but we also pay out approximately $100,000 a year towards taking care of, I guess, or recycling junk and abandoned vehicles, most of which are the older vehicles that just come over here on the island and get left after the fishing season or the cannery season or what have you. And if some of the estimates that I read said 63% reduction, I mean, I guess we get some additional revenue in the first year or two, and then it would reduce, and 63% reduction would be like $178,000, but listening to some of the conversation today, it sounds like we could maybe lose all of it. I'm not sure I followed that, but that's a significant amount. We have a program where we try to take care of these junk and abandoned vehicles, and it costs us anywhere from $400 to $1,000 per vehicle, depending on what kind of condition they're in, where they got to be towed from, just to get them to the company that does the recycling and then pay their fee for them shipping them off the island. So, you know, it's one of those situations where if the if the person was responsible and took care of their older vehicle when they were ready to be junk and abandoned, it would be great. But unfortunately, it's showing that they don't, and especially if they don't only have to pay $100 registration and then they're done. And I believe at one time, I think the Department of Motor Vehicles even has a fund that helps with some of these, the cost of these vehicles, although I'm not sure about this. I've heard that they've depleted that fund, but I think somehow we have to use these fees to help get rid of these vehicles, and it's something that we've discussed amongst the communities in Alaska, because every one of them have this problem about how do we maintain and take care of these. And it's not just a problem for the municipalities, it's a problem for the state, because a lot of times these vehicles end up on the state roads and state right-of-ways, and they just push them off the right-of-way because they don't have the funding in their budget to be able to take care of the vehicles. So I think we need to address that, and I'm concerned that this bill just takes away that money to be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Representative Peterson has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rick, I was just wondering if you think if we create sort of a lifetime registration for vehicles over 8 years old, would that encourage people to keep the vehicles longer, and therefore we might end up with more derelict junk vehicles than what we already have?
Through the chair, Representative Peterson, I'm not sure. I wish I knew the reason why some people, just choose to abandon their vehicles and not take care of them, appropriately. I know some of it's because of the cost, and some locations it's more than others, but, there's a cost to it, whether the municipality or the individual pays for it, and somehow that cost has to be paid for, because people don't do it in the end where they're ready to get rid of the vehicle.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's Rick. Is it Rick?
Rick.
Yeah. Rick, Representative Johnson, is it illegal to abandon a vehicle in your borough?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, yes, it is illegal to abandon it. But what happens is trying to find the owner, because a lot of times they don't. They don't keep on the registrations. A lot of times somebody comes on the island, they use the vehicle, and then they say, give it to a friend and say, you can take it, and they don't go and transfer it. And so if they're not picked up by the troopers, then it doesn't, nothing happens. And you might be two or three owners down that thing, and then they leave the island, and we can't find them. So we end up being, having to clean it up.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson?
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to testify? I don't have anything written down. Huh? I don't have that. Oh, did Jamie Sunderland want to talk from Unalaska?
Yes, this is Jamie Sunderland, if you're ready.
Sorry, you were on the same line as Tanya, and I didn't catch that. So, yes, go ahead, Jamie.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jamie Sunderland. I'm the Public Safety Director with the City of Unalaska, and my department is the group that goes and deals with junk vehicles here, as well as the DMV agent is my employee here. We have a satellite office, and how that is funded is through the commission fees with the various services that we work cooperatively with DMV to accomplish. We also believe that this lifetime registration would potentially have an impact on those commission fees as well, because you would have less customers over time. But my primary concern is the junk vehicles in a remote community. They do collect over time, as you might guess the shipping fees for vehicles are quite high. The cheapest rock bottom method I know of is the Alaska Ferry System, and that's about $1,000 to get a vehicle to our island. When we deal with junk vehicles, typically they are older, and they're abandoned. The owners, if they could be identified, would likely be transient workers from out of state, potentially out of country. So collecting, they're wrong for abandoning the vehicle, but actually collecting that fee is, in our experience here, basically impossible. We have instituted this $200 biannual tax to collect a fund to dispose of our junk vehicles and to work towards, basically we hire a barge to ship all of our vehicles off, and you have to pay for everything, whether it's you start out with a vehicle and you got to strip the tires and all the fluids out and then get it onto the barge, and all these things cost money, let alone shipping it out. I think there's some, you'd think that maybe people would want to pay you for a junk car. It's quite the opposite. You have to pay every step of the way to get rid of it. And it can be, hundreds of dollars for a vehicle. So this was our method locally to come up with funds to pay for that. If the bill were to be changed to allow, our municipality to collect that tax outside of the permanent registration, that would, I think, be a difficult thing as well, because then you would have to create a separate registration system locally for a vehicle, maybe through a window tag, and then you would have to somehow come up with a method to police that and collect that tax. We see that as potentially difficult. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jamie. Any questions? I don't see any. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question regarding that tax for them. Is this the motor vehicle registration tax that the municipality is collecting, or is it in addition to that? Because state statute allows for the collection of motor vehicle registration tax. It doesn't allow for DMV to collect any other taxes that I'm aware of. So
go ahead, Jamie.
Yes, sir. This is through the MVRT, and where we fund it is we set it aside in a fund especially for the disposal of junk vehicles, but it is collected as an MVRT at DMV currently.
And Jamie, could you tell me what is an MVRT?
Oh, it's the motor vehicle registration tax.
Oh.
And so if you had, let's say your vehicle was $100 to register, there would also be this tax over a two-year period attached to it, and you pay that during that registration time. And then as DMV collects it, those monies are returned to a community approximately 6 weeks later through the commission system, where we collect commissions on other DMV activities, and through the MVRT.
Okay, thank you. Representative Munoz has a question.
Thank you. And what percentage goes back to the communities?
Out of the our, it is DMV withholds 8% of that as a collection fee, I guess.
How would you repeat that? How much percent?
DMV withholds 8% of that tax.
All right. Thank you. Representative Munoz, follow up.
For the sponsor, so the $100 fee, the one-time fee, would we, once instituted, would 92% of those fees also go back to the municipalities?
If you're speaking, through the chair, if you're speaking of the one-time fee for the motor vehicle registration tax, 92% of that would go back to the municipality. The registration fee is retained by the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Follow-up.
And is that the $100?
Well, and as the bill is written right now, it's $100 for both. Okay. You pay $100 for the registration fee, plus $100 for the tax. Because we're assuming that's lesser than the five times, as the bill is written now. Part of the draft version we're working on, it suggests changing those things. I just don't have it to bring forward to you guys today, so
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in this bill, we are also designating how much tax local municipalities can charge for vehicles as well?
As through the chair, as the bill is written currently, yes, it's basically limiting the tax, the motor vehicle registration tax that municipalities can collect. There is a simple solution to it, and I'd be glad to share that with you if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson?
Are the changes that you're going to share with us in the CS?
There isn't a CS that exists right now. That's in the draft version that we're working on.
Okay, but you have a CS order that you're going to bring before the committee at a future date?
Hopefully at a future date, yes. I just don't have it today.
What's hopefully mean?
Unless the boss changes his mind, it's going to come at the next meeting.
Madam Chair, if we've got a CS that's substantially different than the bill before us, I don't know why we're dealing a whole lot with these particular issues when we should maybe adopt a CS at a
We don't have a CS before. We don't have a CS.
And I understand that, but my concern is we're discussing issues that may or may not be in the CS, and I never mind.
Okay.
I have a question.
Representative Peterson.
Just a comment that I agree with the representative on the other end of the table. I think that he made a good assessment of the current situation.
And for the record, that was Representative Johnson that he was agreeing with, because it's so rare that we get agreement.
Representative Munoz.
I agree also, and I would have just one more question. Is the CS contemplating giving a portion of the registration fee to the communities as well?
Through the chair, state statute does not designate any of the registration fee to the municipalities for any vehicles, current registration or anything else. The only portion that the state gives to the municipalities is through the motor vehicle registration tax. And there's in statute, there's two sections of statute that address more what the state, the municipalities can collect the motor vehicle registration tax. One is a set chart. And that is what we worked off of when we drafted the bill. There's another one that says that allows the municipalities to set their own registration tax, which many municipalities have done, and that's not referenced in the bill in its current form.
Okay. A follow-up? Well,
I would hope that the CS would look at ways to lessen the impact on the communities. I really appreciate the intent to help consumers. I'm absolutely behind that, but I do think that, for my own community, we're looking at a $500,000 impact. That's a big impact. So when you bring back your CS, if you could please incorporate a way to kind of level that impact.
I wish I could share it with you.
Okay. And for the committee's benefit, this was passed out of the committee as is, and I requested it. I thought it just needed to be worked on a little bit more. So, anyway.
Madam Chair, if I may, I can't share the CS. I can share, if the chair will allow, recommendations for changes to the bill that were made by Whitney Brewster with the Department of Motor Vehicles. Might answer some of the questions that have been raised.
Now, okay, but now, are you going to go through that again at the next meeting?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, let's just wait until the next meeting then, because I'm not going to close testimony. I'm going to leave testimony open for the next meeting. But anyway, that kind of gets the bill out, and we realize that there are some problems that need to be worked on, and we appreciate that you're working on it, and so we will bring it up at another time.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, then let's go on to the next bill. And that bill is the same kind of a bill, only it's on trailers. So Daryl, if you please back, state your name and affiliation for the record over again, and we have heard this bill in committee before, but we really haven't had much discussion on it. So I believe the issues we are similar to House Bill 10, though. But let's, or to House Bill 64. So go ahead, and I'd like to hear the comments from the sponsors.
Through the chair, once again, I'm Darrell Brees, AIDS representative Bill Stoltz. House Bill 10, just a quick summary, is a bill that would allow permanent registration of non-commercial trailers. The primary goal of this bill is to bring the non-commercial trailer registration in line with what's offered to commercial trailers. Currently, commercial trailers can register for $25, and they're registered for life. Non-commercial trailers, you pay a $30 fee every 2 years to register them, and then the rate increases depending on axle weight as you get heavier and heavier with heavier trailers. The goal is to just bring the non-commercial trailers in line with what we're charging. The gravel trucks, the tote vans, the Linden vans, nothing against them. They're moving they move the goods and products that drive Alaska's economy. We respect that. But we want to allow the people towing snow machines, lawnmowers, boats, the same advantage and same privilege that we extend to the commercial trailer owners.
Are there any more for this bill?
If you have any questions, I'd be glad to address them.
Okay. My plan, thank you. Do any members of the committee have any questions? And I kind of, Representative Pruitt.
I guess I just want to clarify. It's $25.
For non-commercial trailers, the registration fee currently is $25.
And the goal, so the goal is just to...
Or for commercial, I'm sorry, for commercial trailers.
For commercial trailers. And the goal is that the non-commercial will also be $25. Or is that, and
it's not as the bill is written.
Okay, and that's what I was trying to figure, because I'm looking through the bill, and I saw that...
We left the $30 biennial registration fee in the bill. It's on line 3 on page 2.
Right.
And or $100 for the permanent one-time registration fee.
Sorry, I missed that. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone online that would like to testify on this bill? There isn't? Okay. You know what I'd like to do today?
Okay.
What I'd like to do, I would like to take these two bills because I feel that there are some legitimate concerns all the way around. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to create a subcommittee, and I'd like to have Representative Peterson be the chairman, and I would have Representative Pruitt and Representative Munoz and Representative Gruenberg, who isn't here, to be on the committee unless someone wants to volunteer. Otherwise, we'll just let it go at that. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to ask one question before why we had the gentleman here. And this is on HB 10. And these are not 8-year-old trailers. These are brand new trailers. Any age trailers?
Any age.
Thank you.
Okay, and so that'll get taken care of. And then when you guys settle it and kind of get things taken care of, you can bring it back to the committee and let me know, and then we'll have it taken care of. Then we'll hear both of them
Madam Chair, and okay. We'll probably be trying to meet once we get back from Energy Council, because I imagine most everyone is going to be heading east next week.
Okay, and now that leaves that's all for today. On Tuesday, March 1st, we have three cell phone bills, and I'm going to try to hear all three cell phone bills together. And I do know that they're kind of working together also to try to pull those bills together, the sponsors are. So we will not be meeting on March 3rd, and so we'll all see you Tuesday, March 1st, of the ones that are be here. All right, and we stand adjourned at 1:45.